Pasaches Mizmavav, page 48. Oshesha Mikas Eni Oshecha B'chol Tzarei. Okay, so we spent some time over here on the grammar. The computer over here is waking up, finally. Okay, so over here it says that my eyes are weak, are been dim from anger. And the anger...
Cataracts.
Well, you want to say, I mean, it's cataracts?
It says Kaas.
Mikas, and we learn this, we cool exactly who's anger. So is David angry at himself?
Recording in progress. Okay.
We got a good lady here.
Beep, beep.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Sorry for the delay over here. We had some technical problems. Let's go further. We're at the page 48. Page 48, Pasukhes. Page 48, Pasukhes. Oshesha Mikas Eni. David said that my eyes, you have to read the words backwards, my enim is my eye. By the way, essentially it doesn't say enayim. It says enim, my eye, in the singular, one eye. What do you mean only one eye? That has to be discussed. Why only voice this every single day? Einai. The Targum seems to translate the word eni as the plural as my eyes. The Targum does it very, very often. There, we learned that in the afternoon, we learned Targum. So the Targum very, very often he switches words from singular to plural to singular. Here it says the word eini, he translates it to mean my eyes, two eyes. So that's not a literal translation of the word. And over here has been dimmed. We translate the word o shesha, like we learned in Rashi, a lantern. A lantern is by definition like a night light. It is just enough light to take away the thickness of darkness, but not enough light to really give you the ability to see where your glasses are. You know, I have at home, there's a ganav comes in every night to my house. Every single night, a ganav comes into the house. He goes up to the side, He goes into my bedroom every night. The ganav goes in and he takes away two things every single night. My glasses and my yarmulke. Wake up in the morning ready for decades. Where are my glasses? Where's my yarmulke? Nowhere to be seen. Okay, so you have light. The light has been dulled. The light has been dulled. Osha lashon of a lantern. Mika, who's kas? Who's kas? Is this the kas of Hashem? Is this the kas of my enemies? Or is it David himself is angry? David, all three. We learned in Farshim. We'll read it again. All three perushim can be correct. That David's enemies are full of rage. And because they're full of rage, David has to be on the lookout. He has to be on the defense. He has to protect himself. And that is very toxic. It drains you to always watch your back. My eyes have been dulled. And you see, here's something a little bit different. You see, I once spoke to a person who told me that he has no time to be mechadish. He's a professor, and he very much wants to write chidushim. He wants to do experiments and engage in being creative and publishing. But problem is, he's very, very busy, and his entire day he's busy, when he says to me, putting out fires. Mm-hmm. Every day he gets a phone call, this student needs a letter of recommendation. Then there's this department meeting, and then there is the professor of the whole college, and this and this. Every single day, everyone is like this. Every single day you're busy doing your duties. You are doing your duties and things always come up. Rabbis, they have to go to the rabbis. Many rabbis want to go to the mechayev, want to give shiurim, they want to publish their chidushim, they want to create new programs, but all of their time is taken up responding to emergencies. People die, people are sick, people need help, people need parnasa, and every single day they get calls out of the blue and they have to respond. That's part of their job, that is their job, to help people, and that takes up all of their time. They don't have any free time left to move forward, to be a visionary, to create and go ahead. That's in essence what this pasuk says. My eye is dull. What does it mean, your eye? The Gedolei Yisrael are called the Einei Ha'eda. Visionaries. They look at the Jewish people. What do they need? What is the future? We talk about looking a chazoin. You're looking into the future to have foresight. What is coming down the line? You want to see ahead. You want to prepare. You want to be able to have a vision of what the Jewish people should look like in 10 years from now. Problem is, my eyesight, my spiritual eyesight, my symbolic eyesight of being able to look into the future and see what we need, where are our vulnerabilities, what can we do to prepare for the future, that sight has been dulled. You know why it's been dulled? Because of Kass. What do you mean, Kass? I gotta watch my back. Every second, my enemies are trying to destroy me. And I always have to go take defensive measures, defensive driving. You spend so much time driving, making sure no one else crashes into you, you don't even know where you're going. You wanna go somewhere, you have to be a defensive driver. So you spend the whole time, you know, watching your right and your left. By the time you occupy your mind being on the defense, you lose sight of, wait a minute, why am I in the car to begin with? I'm here in the car to go somewhere. I got off on the wrong lane. Why did I get from the wrong lane? Because I'm afraid this guy's going to crash into me and this guy's going to crash into me. So you lose your ability to look ahead. Where are you actually going? What's the purpose of all this? Oshisha eini, my eye, my ability to look into the future has been dulled mikas. Because there are many people out there that are angry at me. Castle here is it's a word that's really taken out of context in this case. There are people out there, there are forces of evil which are trying to destroy. I mean, I have to be on guard, and that dulls my ability to have foresight for the future.
That's a beautiful pshat that you're giving, but doesn't it seem as if the Farshim are all saying,
let's just leave like that. Beautiful pshat.
Physical. Physical.
That's also true. Ein mikra yoytze midei pshuto. You are 1,000% correct. Ein mikra yoytze midei pshuto. The simple interpretation. The simple interpretation means is that David needed an optometrist. Correct. He needed an optometrist. Needed an eye doctor because he had his eyesight is no longer 20/20. But every word of Navi, of Navua, has depth. Has other interpretations. So you are right. Now let's just switch to the pasuk. Asuka b'chol tzorai. I'm old. Okay, I've aged. Asuka means atik yomin. Atik yomin, as we mentioned, means time immemorial.
Ancient.
And that's really a very powerful statement. Is that sometimes, you know, you see people and they've aged. It's not, you know, like what happened to this person? Unfortunately, because of the tzoris, the struggle, the difficulty of life, it caused the person to age prematurely. Not all people, they abuse any age. It's not even age so much. This is a natural Baruch Hashem. You know, he got older. But sometimes, some people, they really suffer. And the suffering really, really has an effect on them. And they're not the same person. I feel like I'm 100 years old because of all of my tzaras. Who said this? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu coming up with the sixth parasha, next week's parasha.
Right?
Forgot, I didn't learn the parasha yet.
Next week.
Vayigash, when Yaakov meets Paro, mm-hmm. Paro says, yeah, he comes in, Yaakov, Paro looks at him, says, how old are you? Look, you're 1,000 years old. So Yaakov says, calm down, I'm not 1,000 years old, I'm only 123 years old, my days are ma'at viroim. They're few and they were ra. I had a very, very difficult life, and all the tzaras caused me to age and to look the way I look. And there was a very big complaint against Yaakov for saying that. Yaakov, Rashi says, Hashem, that's how you talk. I saved you from Lavan, I saved you from Esav, I saved you from Shechem with the Ma'aseh of Dinah, I saved you from, I reunited you with Yosef. I did quite a bit for you. How could you say something like that? Ma'at v'ro'im. And because he said that, he lost 33 years of his life. Extremely frightening to be, not to be a boyet, a person who kicks, and not to appreciate what all the good people suffer quite a bit in this world. But it's a very powerful musar. This week's parasha is don't focus on the difficult. Focus on what on the good that you have. I was once in Eretz Yisrael, there was a person who was very, very poor, and he used to go, he really struggled. So someone made a comment like, you know, Rahman Lutzlan, yeah. So he says, you know, don't worry. There are a lot of people here that have a lot less than me. Mm. There are some people here that are destitute. They have to go to food pickups every day just to feed bread for their children. All right, I struggle. That's right. No, that's correct. But Baruch Hashem, I have a lot more than other people. You always look at the good. You know, everyone, you know, every person living in America, the people, you know, these celebrities, they trash, it's amazing, they trash America, especially these athletes, they kneel when they sing the national anthem. It's just mind-boggling. With all the complaints you have, you live in America, there are, I would say, 7.5 billion people in this world. In America, there are 320 or 30 million citizens. Okay, what are the math? It's a very small percentage of the world. Most of the world would give their right arm, would trade in their right arm to be a citizen of this country. And here you are, you're making millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's sitting there when they're playing the anthem, they're getting paid a lot more than the Irish. And you have this, all the world the country did for you. No, you have complaints, you have tinnitus. Okay, you have tinnitus. Everyone has tinnitus. We all have tinnitus. You have the chutzpah to kneel. It's just kofri toif is just mavir al harayim.
I was at an event last week and they recited the Pledge of Allegiance and sang the national anthem.
Yiddish.
And you should see a lot of folks there were Russians, and you should see the kavana they have.
That's right.
When they sing and they, you know, the whole
kiss the earth of America, the golden Medina, Halakar Satoif. You have someone that, you know, yeah, all the complaints in there. It's unbelievable. So just because a person has a very difficult life, you know, so and he'll hear this, Atik Osika Bukholut Sarai. I've aged beyond my years because of my enemies, all of the difficulties in my life. And that David over here is saying exactly these words. It's interesting that David, you know, there's a complaint on Yaakov Avinu for saying something like this. So I don't think we find that the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, maybe we have to see, says, had a complaint against David for talking like this. Let's see the Mitzvahs in Rashi very quickly. Pasuches on page 49, Oshesha Mikas Mecharoy Nerashi Mitzvahs Chazara from last week. We spent a lot of time on the dictate, but let's read the words over here. In the Mitzvah stuff, it says, from the, he learns that the Kas is the enemy. The enemy is in rage. Kas. Balu Einai. So what does that have to do with David? I assume it means that David has to defend himself. He's spending this entire day just defending himself. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, the army is called the Israeli Defense Force. Is there another country in the world where the military is called by the word defense?
Actually, this came up once, and I looked it up, but there were half a dozen.
There were? Other countries?
Yeah, you asked this question once
right
before.
Okay, so it's an edelkeit. We're not here to conquer the world. We're just here to survive. Okay, to survive. Defense. David, his eyesight has been dull because he's on the defense from the cast of the enemy. Next words in the Mitzudos, O Sika, have aged, Bavur Tsoroisai, Keho Eniki Ilu Nit. Now, also, we mentioned this last week, it's very important that the Mitzudos learns aging here is not his body, it's his eyes. Okay, that's a chiddush. That's not the way I don't think the average person would translate these words. The Mitzudis David is saying a very novel pshat in the pasuk, that when it says in the beginning the word in the first expression eini, the Mitzudis David assumes that the word eini is the subject of the second half of the pasuk, and that is ba'avur tzoroisai, because of my difficulties, keha eini, my eyes have been dulled, ki ilu nisyashna bezoiken, the imkein dai b'chol hatzoros. Enough, he's saying to Hashem, Adkan, please Hashem, I've had enough, more than my share. Dai b'chol hatzoros asher kvar avru olai. I read recently this book, I told you, what's his name, Presser? From the ABCs of science.
Presby,
thank you, Presby. Okay, it's really, you know, I don't know why he marketed his book to the Jewish audience. It's a great book, you should market it to the whole world. There's very little Torah in the book. The book is all that, it's all sign. Hey, he says a pasuk about it, he says a few things. But basically, yeah, he has a koyach, he has talent of taking extremely complicated scientific concepts and just simplifying it for the average guy, well, the below average guy like me, just to try to get a grasp on some of these very sophisticated scientific topics. And one thing he talks about their age, and it's very fascinating, is that scientifically, a person's body should only live, this is from the Goyim, 120 years. Okay, people, unfortunately, they die before 120 because of illness, because of environment, because of diet. But physically, he writes, he explains in very, very, very detailed language, very detailed concept, that scientifically, the body, it replaces, the cells replace themselves. As a person ages, person is in a constant state of renewal. And every cell is able to renew itself. I don't remember all of the pratim, but it's limited. The cell, the body, cannot renew itself forever. Built into into the DNA, built into the chomer of a human being, the body is able to, you know, fight off disease and renew itself,
regenerate,
and they are, like carbon. Everyone carbon dating. So carbon dating, there's a half life and another half life, another Chernobyl. When will Chernobyl be safe? So they can tell you exactly the day when Chernobyl, when you want to go to Chernobyl, when there's no more radiation. How many years will be like a few hundred years? Because when there is radiation, so there's a science behind it. It takes time, a half-life, until it reaches this point, and then it splits, then there's another half-life, they can manage to tell you exactly in how many years when it'll be safe to walk into where that nuclear accident happened. The body is the same thing. The body has a certain koyach to renew and regenerate. And the biggest apikarsim, who just focus on the science and they look at the human body under a telescope, under a microscope, they came out with a number about 125 years. That's how long a human being can survive in this world. And then the body gives away. It can't sustain itself after 125 years. That's amazing. Because the science is coming to recognize that what it says in the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, the Hayu Yamav, the Parshas Noach, the Hayu, what is Parshas Noach? Parshas Noach, I forgot. Parshas Bereishis, the Hayu Yamav Bereishis, Meya Ve'esrim Shana. Even though the Pshutai Shal Mikra is nothing to do with the lifespan of a person, the Pshutai Shal Mikra refers to Hashem and says, I'm going to give this world 120 years to do Teshuvah before I destroy this world. Okay, that's the Pshuta Shel Mikra. Rashi says it's nothing to do with a person, Ad Mea Ve'eshrim. But Chazal, somehow they've taken that pasuk and they've used that pasuk, the average that the lifespan of a person is approximately 120 years, like we see by Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron lived 123. Moshe lived 120. Miriam, I don't know.
26.
I'm on 26. So it's amazing that scientists say, Presby, that a person can live naturally, if he has a good diet and the environment is not polluted and he takes care of himself, 125 years. It's an amazing thing, 125 years. Now, just because the body can do that, it appears, there is what the person looks like. The body can physically replenish itself, but if a person allows the tzaras to overcome him, then, you know, he can wither away. That's a principle, Osika. Now, the interesting thing here is that the Mitzudas doesn't want to say it refers to the body. He says only it refers to the eyes. The koyach of the eyesight has diminished because of my difficulties. Let us see Rashi.
We just learned from Tafyomi yesterday. You look into the Kala's eyes, and if they're good and healthy, you don't have to know more
medical. Dachim, yes, I learned the
Daf.
Where is that in the Daf? Is the Daf Dach yesterday? At the bottom on the very, very bottom of the page, on the base?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't get that far.
Yes,
okay, Achoni Hamalo. Yeah. You look, if the kala's eyes are good, everything
no,
is good.
No, you don't need bedika anymore.
That's what it says by the Enei Leah. What does it say by Rachel and Leah? By Yehav Yaakov is Rachel. It says, the Enei Leah Rakois. The Rachel Hoyasa, Yifas Toyar, Vifas Mare. So, what the first one, what does it mean, Yifas Toyar, Vifas Mare? Rashi says it doesn't mean the body, it means her face. Only describing the Tzura Sapon. Rashi is very, very clear. Yifei Toyar, Yifei Mare, the Pasuk is not describing the body. Today in America, you describe the body. Yeah, you don't describe the ponin. It's describing the Rashi says the cluster ponin. Those both expressions, Rashi makes it explicitly clear that Rachel had a beautiful ponin. Yifei Toyar, Yifei Mare, the ponin. What about Leah? The Enei Leah Rakois. So what is Rashi? Everyone knows the Rashi. That Leah cried. Why did she cry? Because she was told that they have cousins, Esav and Yaakov, and the older to the older, the younger to the younger. So Rachel, Leah, she Googled Esav. She Googled him. She took out her smartphone and she Googled, who is Esav? And it says, Esav, a Wikipedia page, is a Rasha, is a Ratzeach, he's a Menoyev, he's the head of the mob. A ganza whole shtickle tire there on Wikipedia about. So she saw, this is who I'm destined to marry, Khalisha Sadaf. She cried. What?
His resume wasn't good.
No good.
No pictures.
There were pictures. He was a mobster. It was. So she cried, and because she cried, that's what it means. Emily Rakus, her eyes were tender, which means that they like what it says over here. Ashesha mikas eni asikah b'chol tzarai. So that's not what the Targum says. The Targum says the ene leya rakus ye oyin. What does the mean ye oyin mean in English? Beautiful. Leya had beautiful eyes. Rachel didn't have beautiful eyes. Rachel had something else going for her. Yifei Toyar, Yifei Mare. She had a beautiful Tzura Saponim. Her Tzura Saponim was beautiful, but not the eyes. Leah had the beautiful eyes. But Leah, it doesn't say, had a beautiful Tzura Saponim. In other words, you can't have everything. Like a boy says, a boy of age to get married, so his mother says, what kind of girl do you want to marry? So he gives his mother 10 different qualities he wants in a girl. So his mother says, you're talking about 10 different girls. There's no such thing as one person, no such thing as one person having it all. What's your priority? No such thing as it all. And that's straight in the Torah. Leah, her eyes were rakois, unkelis, ye oyin, beautiful eyes. And if the eyes are beautiful, what did you just say? It says in the Gemara, she doesn't need bedika. Everything is good. Rachel? Doesn't say. We don't know. Doesn't say. It says, Rachel hoyisa yifas toyar yifas mare. The Ziv Kilaster and the Tzura Sapon. That's what Rashi says. The Ziv Kilaster and the Tzura Sapon. Doesn't say she had beautiful eyes. Yaakov, he wanted her. Why did he want her? Why didn't Yaakov know the Gemara? The Gemara says, if the Kala has beautiful eyes, everything is good. What's the shot? Al tam v'reyach, ein l'hizbakeach. We don't know why. We don't know how this works. To each his own. But here as well, you're dealing over here with the eyes. This pasuk obviously is a very critical pasuk, because anytime you have a pasuk in Tanakh that deals with the eyes, you have to stop. The eye in the eye is the neshama of the person. And you know, I don't know too much about anything, but I remember when I was in eighth grade, so they showed us a movie about the eyes, a film, a scientific film about how the eyes work, the brain. I was just like blown away. The chokhma and the nisim and the flois, they're in the eyes. How is it possible for a person, you know, you look and you see it, and the brain processes the chokhma is
the eye is actually part of the brain.
part of the brain.
Is part of the brain.
And there is chokhmah. There's no in the human being. There is no chokhmah that comes anywhere near the eyes. Koyach of ri'ah is beyond. And the truth really is, no, it's really even a bigger chokhmah sound. Shmiya. I mean, we don't appreciate the koyach of shmiya. And I used to volunteer occasionally for Torah anytime. And you know what they spend the whole day there doing? Torah anytime? Sound. Video? Big deal. No big deal. Get a video camera. By the way, now you can't get a camera anymore because of the supply chain. The supply chain crisis. Unbelievable. You cannot buy a quality. Impossible. Totally shut down. The whole thing. People don't care. People don't have cameras anyway. But like they need cameras all the time. They replace parts and snap. Nothing. Zero. They're ready for a long time because of this. Because of what's going on. But video? I was shot video, big deal. Video. You take a camera, you push a button. Video is almost never an issue. Sound is always, always a problem. Isn't it amazing? You listen to a video and you hear good sound? That's a lot of chokhmah. To have good sound. The microphones, what kind of microphone, the wireless on this iPhone, they spend an enormous amount of money and time and effort to produce quality sound. And gets you to think, you know, a human being, you know, there's a koyach of ri'ah and there's a koyach of shmiah. Don't take for granted the koyach of shmiah. The koyach of shmiah, how the brain processes sound, is also beyond belief. It's beyond belief. Okay, but the Ari Chazal said the neshama, I don't know what this means, there's the Ari Chazal, that the neshama is in the eye. The eye, in the eye there is a...
The eye is the key to the soul, isn't it?
The pupil is called the Ishoin Bas Oin. Why is it called the Ishoin? Ishoin is Miloshin Ish. Aleph Yud Shin. A little man. Pashup Shadim means that when you look at someone, if I look at you in the eye, it's a mirror. I see a little man in the eye. Who's that little man in the eye? Me. If I look right at you, I'm up close, and I'm looking at you, it's a mirror. I see in your eye a little man. And that's me. But on a deeper level, it doesn't just mean me, it means you. The ish is the person's essence is in the eye. Chanukah, Zois Chanukah is all about looking, about ri'ah. It's all about, Purim is about shmiah. Talk about that later on. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of ri'ah. Ein lanu reshus lehishtamesh, ela lir'oisam bilvad. Purim is the Yom Tov Lishmoya, it's not Lishmoya, it's Al Mikra Megillah, to read the Megillah, but the reading of the Megillah is done through sound. You hear the people live, you listen to the Megillahs. Okay, in any event, when you talk about the eye, this is not a simple matter. I said, yes.
The technology which is using the movement of an eye on the computer, people can talk even.
Right, through eye movement. Everyone knows has a unique eye. Everyone has a unique eye print. And technology, you go and know your technology.
So there are people sick that can't.
Rahmanas who cannot talk, so they through their eyes are able to communicate. There's technology that's able to look into the person's eye, and with eye movements and very and nuance of the eye movement, you can be able to communicate. Mm-hmm. So it goes so that the eye has the koyach of communication, dibur. There is dibur in the eye. You all know when you look at someone and they blush, the way they look at you, that speaks volumes. There's a whole language. There's a language in the eye. It's an incredible chokhmah. And I just did that.
What do you say about the tzvi that he sleeps with
one eye open? The tzvi.
So he's always he's on
the run, defense.
He's on the run.
He's always vulnerable. So there's such a thing as sleeping with one eye open.
One eye.
The malachim have we learned have numerous eyes on all you know 360 degrees, and even there are fish. There are certain types of octopuses and fish. They have eyes all around their body. Many many eyes. Can you imagine the brain is processing panorama, a whole all 360 degrees. It's talking amazing. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave a person only eyes in front. You can see to the side. You can't see behind you. It's incredible. Everything was done with chachma. Whenever you read about the eyes, you got to stop. You have to stop and reflect. The eyes, what they do today is very fast. Today they take, today everything is digital. So I don't know how it works digital, but in the old days, everyone remembers there are 35 millimeter cameras, on film cameras. So they take today, it's unbelievable, this chachma. They take today a picture. Let's say you have Kennedy. I saw this. It was in the office, Oval Office, and they took a picture of him. Famous picture. They took that picture. They zoom with new technology. They took the negatives. They zoom in on the negative, on the eye of Kennedy, and they're able to look into the eye. They can see it's a mirror, and they're able to create a picture of who was on the opposite side. The photographer was there, his wife was there, his kid was running around. By looking, the eye is a mirror. So you take 35 millimeter camera, a negative, and they have some technology that can actually zoom in on the eye, because the eye is a mirror. And they look into that eye, and they super, super duper magnify it, and then they can see in the picture who was 180 degrees on the other side of the room, the background of the room. Is that amazing? You look into the person's eye, you can see the whole scene. So that's a muscle in the person's eye, is his whole neshama. They have all these spooky stories with mekubalim. They look at the person's eye. They know every aveira he did, every mitzvah he did. They know who his neshama. These are all spooky because the eye is.
The Rambam will look at an eye and tell the person what's
everything about the person. You see his illness, everything in the eye. So when you have a pasuk like this, a David HaMelech, the Melech of Klal Yisrael says, "My eyes have been dulled." That's serious business. The last king was Tzidkiyahu. What happened to Tzidkiyahu? Nebuchadnezzar blinded him. He was the last melech of Klal Yisrael. His eyes were blinded. David was the first. And David, from Malchus Yehuda. And David says about himself, O Shesha Mikas Eini. The last melech, there were 21 kings. The last melech was Tzidkiyahu. He was blinded. And what it says in the Farshim is a very, very, very scary. So I always think he was blinded. That the Nebuchadnezzar took whatever. He took thorns. He did some horrible experiment with him. He blinded him. Right? Use your imagination. That's not what it says. It says in the Chazayahu he blinded him. He took his 10 children, one at a time, and he murdered each one of Tzidkiyahu's 10 children in his presence. With each child, he cried. The tsar was so great, by the time he got to murdering his youngest child, he went blind from the pain, from the tsar, from what it says here, Osaka b'chol tsar, Oshashami kasim. He didn't touch his eye. Nebuchadnezzar didn't touch Tzidkiyahu's eye. He caused him so much tsar that the crying caused him to become blind. Who says this? Either it's a medrash or it's a kadma that says this. I saw this already a few times. This idea. You're dealing with the eyes, you're dealing with everything. The eyes, the gedolei hadar are called the Einei Ha'eder. The Nelam, the leaders of the generation, they are called the eyes, the whole Kaishal is one human, one creature. And they, every person, Kaishal has a has a chelik in this body, and the leaders of the Jewish people, they are compared to the eyes, the Einei Ha'eder.
I want to mention also one of Rabbi Reisman Shears, he mentioned, I forgot which Navi were doing, but he talked about the eye and the heart, and then someone sent him a whole letter, a medical thing. The eye and the heart are connected, and if someone has problems with the eye, they check the heart, and vice versa. A whole connection with that,
sure.
Also, which we never knew.
Everything is interconnected.
Yes.
Eye circulation.
And the heart connected. Yeah.
Also, the teeth also connect to the heart. That's well established. Our dentist over here, correct?
Maybe.
Better be careful what I say. Maybe. Okay, I gotta be careful. They said, remember Dr. Targan? You know Dr. Targan? Herbert Targan. So he told me all about it. He told me, I once mentioned this, and he told me it's true, and he told me the whole thing about this is that. Is that if you don't take care of your teeth, you're playing around with your heart. Yeah. There's some type of direct connection, whatever that means.
We have two dentists here.
We have two dentists. That's Stern is not here today. He went to Eric Tishol. No, he came back. He's back. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's proceed. Let's do the Rashi. Today is the last day. We'll finish no matter what. Tomorrow we're going to do the next Mizmar. But let's finish with this again. Oshasha. L'shayin ashashis. Rashi learned the word. He's giving us a more precise translation of the word Oshasha. We actually did this. So we review it a little bit. Let's go back to the Mitzudos Tzion. Oshasha, he learns Inyan Belia Virika Vine. He learns the word Oshasha of a moth. An osh is a moth. A moth goes into the closet. The next thing you know, your clothing are kodesh. They're holy. The osh, it brings decay.
The connection is the moth is attracted to the light.
The moth is attracted to the light?
No,
the moth.
What? They put their eggs in the clothes.
You see, at night they all go straight to the light.
Yeah? Yes. I have no idea how this works. A moth brings recovering, it causes the clothing to decay. So here when it says that, Oshasha Mikas Eini, this is a borrow term, we're taking the word the moth, which causes clothing to decay, to become ruined, and we're using it here as a term to describe the diminishment of a person's eyesight. That's how the Mitzudas Tzion learns the word Oshasha, as well as some of the other farshim on the page. Now, look at also the Ibn Ezra. He says, Oshasha migizras osh yoichlim. A moth will consume, will destroy this item. And Rashi doesn't say that, at least in the first parish. Rashi says in this first parish, L'shoin ashoshis, which Michal very told us, lantern. I wouldn't have even read. Lantirna balas. Okay, a lantern. So what is a lantern? The lantern is a nightlight. It's enough, like we said in the beginning, it's enough light to make sure you don't trip, but it's not enough light that you can actually read something, you can see something clearly. It's a dull light, just a small amount to get by, but not what you really need. So that's how we learn. An eye, shem oira keha, whose light is dull. It looks like there's some type of barrier which dulls. It's not clear. There's a lack of clarity. You look through glass. It's asplakmaria she'ena mi'ira. There's a vision that's clear, and there's an asplakmaria, a vision that's not clear when you're looking through glass. Today there's such good technology. The glass. So you have to appreciate what Rashi's saying, because in Rashi's time, I'm not so sure they had glass that was perfectly clear. They didn't have the technology, if I'm not mistaken, to produce glass. And you could mamish see right from anything. You know, something you go to this place, it happened to me a few times. You mamish, you walk in, you go home, hurt myself. A few times it happened to me.
Rashi uses the word zechuchis.
Yeah, but then he goes on to say, but it's not a clear glass. It's a glass that's not clear. Look at the Doimaloki, it's like Iluhu Roya Derech Zichuchishe Kinegan. So what's so bad? I'm wearing glasses. So with the glasses, you don't even know there's a barrier? You go to the ophthalmologist, oh we have for another $50, we have glass that is so super clear. Real. Okay. So they get you for that upgrade. And then don't let it scratch. Another $50. The upgrades. Does it really make a difference? The difference? Okay, does it really make a difference? Some people claim yes. But
Huston wants for pictures.
But it seems that years ago in ancient times they didn't have the technology to create glass that's clear. They didn't have the technology. And therefore Rashi says it's like looking through glass. When you look through glass, it's cloudy. It's not clear. I've hurt myself already a few times by walking into a room and thinking that it's clear. Bang! Oh, my nose. Oh, there's a glass door. This is the glass door, perfectly clean. It's just as good. But that's not the way it was years ago. Okay.
This is one of the things that the Nazis did. They took all the glasses from the prisoners, and they threw. I saw the pile of thousands
glasses.
Of them.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You know how debilitating that is? I know in the morning when I can't find my glass every morning, it's torture. You know, you really, it's you can't see.
Glass is defined the glass.
You can't see. You know, you can't. Sight is everything. It's, you know, it's amazing.
I mean, it's foggy.
How long ago did it become common for the common man to have own a pair of glasses?
Benjamin Franklin.
How many years ago was it? 300 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. Before, what did they do there before that?
They had good eyesight.
Did they? Did they really have good eyesight? It's debatable. No one really knows.
No
one really knows what kind of eyesight
well.
People had. What?
They didn't see well. They died young.
Not always. Not in every generation. There were generations where they.
They didn't have all the things that, you know, the electricity and all that stuff.
We don't know. Is that the reason why everyone almost every single person needs a pair of glasses? Is that people get older than they need reading glasses? Was that the way it was 500 years ago? I don't think we really know. Also, they lived in much smaller quarters. Like, you go to the airport, without your glasses, you're finished, right? You go big, you need, they didn't have such structures where you needed to see with clarity a mile away, see all the signs of where to go. They didn't have such big buildings. Did they even need to see so clearly? I don't know. We no one really knows. But in any event, the one thing that seems to be clear, is that in Rashi saying of the Oshasha, it's dull, it's cloudy, like you're looking through glass. If you live in the 21st century and you don't appreciate that things are not the way it always used to be, you don't know what Rashi's talking about. Because what's the big deal? Glass, perfectly clear glass. Like you show a little kid of a telephone from 25 years ago, and there's a cord. And you saw the Chanukah party, and you see this was, and they see on the wall a telephone with a cord. So you say to the kid, you see, what's that? He goes, it looks like a phone. So you say to the kid, why is there a cord? He goes, yeah, Taka, why is there a cord? I said, the reason why there's a cord and telephone is because in those days they were very expensive. And we wanted to make sure no one would walk away with the receiver. So we attached it to the wall. Today it's much cheaper. You get a new phone every year, but those days you attach it to the wall. I never knew that. It's good to know.
And then the phone store, they have them attached. You go to a phone store to make sure no one
don't walk away with the sample. Keep it attached. Okay, so you have to appreciate that glass wasn't the way it always used to be. Next, then we come back to the second parish, like we said in the Mitzvah Tzion. Umenachem perishu. I don't know why there are brackets. Is it a mistake or this way it's supposed to be? Umenachem perishu l'shoyin rikavoyin. It is decay. Kimo va'atzomai osheshu. My bones have rotted. V'chein kol l'shoyin osh. Like we said, it means a moth. A moth. And we borrow that term to expand upon it to mean my eyes have decayed. Next words of Rashi. Osaka nisyashna. Viniz dakna eini b'chias or Oscar's aged. He learns it more as they're old. Lush of Yoshon and Zokain. Nizdakna. Zokain, it is aged and old due to a lack of sight. Umanachim chivroim vayatek mishom ahara. A second interpretation means to uproot. To uproot. Now, what does that mean exactly? My eyes. I don't know what I mean. Probably you guys, an ophthalmologist will probably explain more and more accurately that there's something that has been dislocated. That the loss of vision involves a dislocation, different parts, elements, different parts of the eye, the iris, and they're, you know, all different, so delicate the eye. And if something is torn, something is just not correct, it's not in its socket, it's not in its right location, that's called vayatek mishamahara. Bechol tsaroi, beshvil tsarois, the difficulties, shemnit seirinli, which cause me pain. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test. Suru mimeni kol poalev. Here is a plea. The word suru is like a command. And in this context, David is being mevakish, he's pleading with Hashem, remove from me all those who are practitioners of oven. Poel, people that are professionals, a professional practitioner of sin, people who just thrive on doing averos. Ki shama Hashem kol b'chi, you have heard the cry, the sound of my cry. Okay, that's a very interesting expression, not referring to the actual words. This is a very powerful expression, that just crying alone is a prayer. Okay, we have this many different expressions of prayer. There are words, there are eloquent words, there are simple words. there are piyutim, you can say psukim, and then there is just the sound of crying. That itself is a potent form of prayer. Even any words. You don't need any words, just the sound of a cry. It's powerful. Okay, Rachmanos, you go to Levi, hear people crying. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, sometimes hear people crying. You know, you hear someone. I was very moved once. I once went to Tisha B'Av, and there was someone speaking, and he was very powerful, and there were people that were crying, and you heard them cry. It's very, you know, it's there's something to it, obviously. And then Rosh Hashanah, there's the call of the shofar, the sound. That itself is a koyach of tefillah. There's so many different forms of prayer. Prayer is not just words. And even when it's words, there's so many different types of words. There are words of psukim, there are words from the Paitanim, there are your own words, your own expression. You can add your own words at different points in davening, and you have to be very careful when, where, how you do it. But you can add your own words. And then there is moaning, there are sounds of actual, just the cry, you call shofar. And then there is even the koyach of tefillah, of an inner tzar. Some say that's what zo'oka is. Vayiz'aku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Even if nothing comes out, nothing, not a peep, but there is an inner stirring in your heart, that also is called an expression that goes to the Kisei HaKavod. So there are many different terms here. This is a very important pause, because here we are.
It's a Yosef. He cried so many times, but nobody held it.
It's a Baal Bechi.
But he, at the end, it says, Vayishmehu Mitzvayim, Vayishma Kol. Everybody heard this cry. He bursted out with a cry. But before, it was a silent cry.
Inner cry, that's right. At the end, it all came forth. Very good. So here you have this idea, ki shama Hashem has heard the koil bichyi. Let's see the mitzvah stavu pasik test. Pasik test sudu luchu mimeni ki lo yisuchlu li me'ata. David is begging Hashem, take it away. Ki niskablu tefilasidish. All of the practitioners of evil should disappear because you have accepted my prayer. Rashi, pasik, there is no Rashi on this. Look at that. There's no Rashi on this pasuk. Very interesting. Okay. Next pasuk yud. Shoma Hashem tichinasi. Hashem has heard. He has heard in the past tense. My tichina. Tichina is another word for prayer. My supplication. V'eschanan el Hashem tichinasi. My supplication. Kama Hashem tifilasi yikoch take. This is a very powerful expression. To say to Hashem, here's the prayer. It's almost like you're putting it in a package. You take it, the person davens, and you package it up. You have tied a little ribbon on it, and you put it in a nice little box. And here, take the prayer. This prayer, which, what is this positive lesson saying, is prayer is something which endures. When you speak to your friend, so you have a tendency to think that, you know, you say something, it goes in one ear, out the other ear. It's ephemeral. Dibur, prayer, you speak to a person, they listen, they hear, they either say yes, they say no, they make a decision. It's an intellectual event, moment. No. Sound, prayer, is something which remains. It's something which endures. Even though, how could it endure? It's not physical, it's just sound waves. Well, we don't understand how prayer really works. Prayer is something where it says yikoch. Yikoch is the word mekach, take.
As if it's a substance.
Substance. We're giving the koyach of tefillah matter. We don't, in this world, Chayei Alma, we look at sound. Sound is something which has no matter. There are sound waves, so you say something, it goes, goodbye. It's gone, it disappears. No, and then there's something that has a mamoshes. You can hold it in your hands. You can put it away, you can preserve it. So sound is something new. You daven today, no, it's gone. You have to daven tomorrow. That's not correct. Sound, tefillah, is a davar sheyesh boi mamish. And therefore, when you daven, every single tefillah you daven, it's put away. And that's why it's so important a person should never think, listen, today I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood. So I'll gobble my davening. You know, when the year is over, when a person's life is over, you open up the drawer, what do you got in there? What do you got in there? Every tefillah the person davens has matter, has substance. And you can come back to it. And you can look at it. This is my creation. This is my creation. And it's put away. It's a very scary, frightening thing. You know, even in science, if I'm not mistaken, they've come to realize that sound endures forever. When you speak, so they say that we don't have the tools to measure, but you create a sound when you say Dibur.
Light also. That's why we see stars that are a billion years old, theoretically.
They're still going. It keeps on going.
Still going.
We don't have the tools to measure where it goes. But when a person says something, you create a sound wave. And that sound wave, it appears from our measuring tools, just gets weaker, 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 and it disappears. It's zero. It's not true. It goes on forever.
It's so small.
We don't have the tools to measure how teeny these things really are. But David HaMelech, he knew this. He writes, Hashem tefilas yikach. None of us would say this expression. None of us would take sound and give sound vocabulary of a davar sheyesh boi mamsh. Kach, vayikach Moshe, es mate. Moshe took the mate. You take something that is physical. You don't take words. No. Words are physical.
Accepting rather than taking.
Well, you're manipulating the word. You're manipulating the root of the word. But the word kach is a root word, is a word which means to take something physical, something that has matter.
He says,
I am a tefillah. My whole goof is an expression.
But he goes here and then gradually. First he says, Shama Hashem kol dibri, Shama Hashem tchinati, and then Hashem tefillati yikach. Say gradually.
Gradually.
Bechi has no
words.
Just cry.
Just sound.
And the tchina is already
words. Expression.
The
totality, the whole essence of the person. Beautiful. Person has to build up. It's a process. Tefillah is a process. It takes time to boot up in the morning. Get up in the morning, it takes the process. Very good. Very good. So, correct, exactly. Means take the words. The words are not just ephemeral. Exactly. You prove the point.
Right.
The words endure. The words of the Nevi'im. The words of the Nevi'im are Dvarim sheyesh bohem mamash. Okay, let's see over here the Mitzvah David. We did with Pasuk Yud. Shama kofal hadavar b'miloy shonis. Poetic repetition. We had this many times. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Next Pasuk. Pasuk, the last Pasuk. Yevoshu v'yibohalu me'oid kol oivoy. Yashuvu yevoshu rog.
Now this is a... Yevoshu, Yashuvu, Yevoshu.
Four words that begin with a yud.
Yevoshu. Different meaning.
There's busha. The first busha is the beginning at the end. Yevoshu, they should be embarrassed.
Yevoshu, busha.
Okay, let's see. There's two bushas. There's a double busha. Yevoshu roga. Let's see the mitzvah start first. Pasuk Aleph, we'll see. Pasuk Aleph, Yevoshu b'roisam hatzlochasi. They should be embarrassed when they see my success. Again, this is something which we have a very hard time relating to today, because today we've been so worn down. We're usually not interested in showing up our enemies. We just want to survive. Okay, most of us just want to get through the day, survive the day. We don't usually have this pleasure in rubbing it in to our enemies. In Adarabba, when you rub it into your enemy, it doesn't go off. There's always revenge. It's not a good thing today to go fight with your enemies. We're extremely vulnerable today, so we don't like to gloat and exactly.
No winners.
So the fact is in Tanakh it's molei v'godosh, heaping. with these ideas where there is something to gloat about. In the ideal world, there is an element of showing up wicked people and gloating in their destruction and their downfall. You don't try this at home today, it's not going to work. It's not in Golis. It's not going to work out very well, but you cannot ignore the fact that this is a theme which reappears over and over again right here. Yevoishu, my enemy should be embarrassed, but by someone they witness hatzlochasi, v'yibohalu, they should be terrified. Kiderech adam hatamea v'nifhol b'ro'istav asher chashav l'nimna. When a person sees the impossible, I never thought this could happen. I never thought I can be defeated. I never thought something like this could happen. And the person is in a state of bahola, in torment. He's tormented. Yashuvu oz. Now here is something very interesting. Then at the end of the pasuk, you would think that these wicked people, they're gone. They go into the grave. They disappear. No. Yashuvu oz yihyu chayzrim meiru asam levake shloimi. This is a different twist. They're going to do teshuva. They're going to turn around. They're going to want to be my friend. If you can't beat them, join them. They're going to come around to join me. Uverega hahi, and in that moment, yevoshu, they will be embarrassed. And look at this. This is the Mitzudos David has an extremely novel interpretation of these words. This is every single day you say these words. It's not the way the average person translates these words. They should only be ashamed at that moment. Only at that moment of realization that I'm right, just for a moment, and then they'll turn around, they'll do teshuva, they'll become my best friend, and then they'll be happy campers. We'll all be one big happy family. Yevurega ha-hi. That one word that he adds into the pasuk is explosive. Try adding that into your siddur. See what someone will say. Uverega ha-hi. And at that moment only, yevosh v'loy la'achar zman. Why? Ki emchol lohem. I will forgive my enemies. Al ma she'osu bi for their sins. V'loy si zochar ne'od li'yos lohem l'voishes. And therefore they will no longer be embarrassed. I'm not looking. I want them to be put to shame just for a second. And then I want to forgive them. You learned your lesson. I want to forgive you. Let's be friends. Let's kiss and make up. And that's it. I always tell you this because I went to a levaya. It always rings in my head. And this woman died. She was like 100 years old. And there were a whole bunch of brothers. And one of the brothers spoke and he said that we were children. We used to fight like cats and dogs. We were extremely wild. Very wild and very violent, and we'd fight. And when the day was over and our mother put us to sleep, she always said to us, okay, kiss and make up. Can't go to sleep until you all kiss and make up. And they would kiss each other, and they went to sleep, and the next day, nachamol, at each other's throats. And that night, kiss and make up. You know, you really do that every night. You say, you're saying in the Kriya Shema Al Hamita, V'lo Yonesh Shum Adam Besibasi. No one should be punished because of me.
Except
who? And then the next day, back at it. Fighting, back at the next day. And then at night, it's really, I remember my Rebbe, I remember Mayor, you saw my, I said good morning when you came in, they were saying, I mean, hunger. He knows kol hatariku. Everyone knows that in Yeshiva. He knows kol hatariku. So he told us. I remember when I was in this class in Chaim Gwin, 11th grade. So he told us that I don't know, maybe it was his mother. I don't remember who he told us from. We went to shul erev Yom Kippur, and in the shul where they lived, and it was in, I don't know where it was in Poland. Maybe it was in Hungary. Maybe it was in Europe somewhere. I don't know where it was. They were fighters. There were a lot of fights. They would fight, especially in shul. They loved to fight. And there were two people that really were at each other's throats every single day. It was It was Erev Yom Kippur in shul. In those days, people really came early. Not like today, unfortunately. In most shuls, you don't have people coming. You don't have people coming also. They came early to say tefillah zaka, and as they were saying tefillah zaka, you heard one of these people. He called Beryl, Moichel. One sat on one side of the shul, and the other one sat on the other side of the shul. So one of them was Beryl, Moichel. So you hear begrudgingly from the other side of the shul, Mochel, Yankov, Moichel. So begrudgingly, Mochel. Then they call Nidre. They started calling Nidre. Whole day went by. Comes the Ilah Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Yiskadal V'Yiskadal V'Rami Yomar V'Iru Onen V'Hu Racham. So before they bribe, even before they say, Beryl Yeshegetz. They couldn't even start Marif when they're already at each other's throats. Right? That's so over here, Dovin over here is saying an incredible thing over here is that Yevoshu, 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 Me'oid, Kol Oivai, Yashuvu, they should be embarrassed and they should be terrified, all of my enemies, very much. But then Yashuvu, they should do teshuvah, and thus the busha of the beginning of the pasuk, according to the Mitzvah's David, the second time that it says the word Yevoshu is going back on the beginning, that should only endure for rega, for one moment. And after that rega is over, back with best friends.
In the extent difference, rega is also leheraga, to relax. The first Yevoshu vibalu. But the second Yevoshu, and they can relax.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, let's read the words inside. Yeshuva az yuchozim Yevoshu lo yelach hazman ki em cholcham. We've read it already. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk yud aleph. Yevoshu vibalu ma yeshuvu Yevoshu pam shniya. Why does it say this? Why does it say this a second time? Pam shniya. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo asalav haKadosh Baruch Hu donis erasham shal umas ha'olam u'mechayvan ligehenim. They're going to go to Gehenna. They're going to chay v'heimis ra'amin olav, and they're going to complain. It's not fair. Like we have all the gemaras v'sach v'sukkah. T'nad lo miroish, give us the mitzvah again, give us sukkah. V'yakadosh baruch hu ma'chazirin v'chayzer umare gilyonim shalohem. HaKadosh baruch hu is big, no, they're going to fall for an appeal. Isn't this amazing? Hafeich v'hafeich v'tekulaba. They're going to be, the verdict is guilty. Gehenna. And they're going to go to the Court of Appeals and file for an appeal and grant it. Let's go and look over the case. And Hashem's going to pick out HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machazidon. He's going to take them back into the court of the Choyzer Umare Gil Yoinin Shelohem. Their records. The Gilion, their records. Vidon Oison Oison Machayvim and the Machayvim Vuhu Machazion Ligehenim. Hare busha kefula. So every time that we say this davening of Yekurash, obviously, is completely different than what it says in the Mitzvah. It's completely different. I apologize. I know that the Mitzvah lived a lot longer after Rashi. He lived at least 500 years after Rashi, more probably 700 years maybe. But we always somehow end up doing the Mitzvah first. But Rashi is very different than he's saying over here, is that when it says of the Yevoshu twice, a double busha, because there's going to be an appeal. The Court of Appeals. So the amazing thing in America, you should know, one of the very big, big, big chassodim of America, this country, is I don't even know how it's even is precedent. People are experts, legal I mean, lawyers here. Do other countries, or go back in ancient times, was there such a thing as a Court of Appeals? We have a situation where you're guilty, or and you can go, you can file an appeal.
Both the system. Decision. It's a final decision.
Final decision. That's
will
very.
You cry?
That, what?
Will you cry? You
what?
Cry that before
it's not going to help you cry. Once you're guilty, once they. What do you mean? You don't find in halacha. There are rules. You have to have a bezin and that's godly.
The appeal here is not a retrial. It's just a whether procedure was followed properly, whether law was applied properly.
In America?
Not evidence. They don't do.
It's limited. It's limited.
Yeah.
Limited. Okay, but there is still such a principle. It's an amazing thing. I told you many times. That's one of the big problems today with Dine Torah. People today, when you get involved with big money, they are very hesitant to go for a Dine Torah. It's really for one reason, because they can't file an appeal. If you want to go to a Dine Torah today, which is the halacha, you have to go to a Beis Din, that's the halacha. You must go to a Beis Din, you're not allowed to go to a court. So what's the problem? The courts, they love Bati Din. They love them. They give them permission to be, because it's just arbitration. Leave us alone. We have enough court cases here to last us for generations. So you want to go take your dispute for arbitration to a rabbinical court? Kol hakavod. We'll even give the rabbinical courts enormous power. Whatever the rabbinical court says, as long as it's recognized, it's illegal, we have the RCA, you have certain courts, the Jewish courts that have received a license, so to speak, to be a court. It's just basically arbitration.
But people don't trust them.
Okay, that's another issue. But let's say that's not today. That's not so much the issue anymore. There's a lot of corruption in Bezin. People here, anyone who went to a Din Torah will give you a speech like you never heard. But there's been a lot of progress over the years, and today they are Talmidei the Chachamim. There is a system. The system works to a very large degree. I mean, I don't know it's a lot, but it works to a degree. But the problem is, the government says if you're going to go to arbitration, which basically is to a Beis Din, the decision of the court is final,
legally binding,
and there is no appeal. If you go to go to downtown Brooklyn, you go for jury duty, and they paskin guilty, they can file an appeal. They can make up some bubba mice and say, this wasn't a fair trial. And many times they do get an appeal. You can schlep it out for generations, for years. If you go to a Beis Din, there's no appeal. It's over. That's the law. This is what the Beis Din says. That's it. It's over. And the government will go freeze your bank accounts and take away your money to make sure that you follow whatever the Beis Din says. Yeah.
Isn't there where they told me to come with them. In case he has to limit his course, and he tells
right.
him, and
so there is the, that's so for is that, that's for big dinei nefashas. That's for I think only by dinei nefashas. Only by dinei nefashas, so the person that they hang out to die, maybe they'll find a limit course. When it comes, let's say dealing with money, $1 million, $1 million, yes or no? You go to a Beis Din, that's it. So people have pain. They don't want to be locked. People in their mind, they don't want to be locked in, and that's a very big problem. And the way they would really solve a lot of these problems is if they can create a system where you can go to a Beis Din, and there can be an appeal. I mean, I don't know halakhically how that works.
The appeal process means that whoever has the most money wins.
You're saying it's totally corrupt.
No, because they keep the one with more money can keep appealing, and the one who
A lot of the courts today they reject appeal. It's very hard to get an appeal if you don't have a real argument. People that go to court, they really believe they're right. So they go, the judge says you're guilty. What? It's corruption. How can you say I'm guilty? I'm really right. Go for an appeal. Let's have another judge listen to the case. If you're really guilty, no one's going to give you an appeal. If the person's really guilty, you hear different stories. They're guilty, they follow the appeal. Baloney. There was no appeal. The guy's finished to appeal. The right away, the next week, the appeal was rejected. They don't have a chance. But it's in the mind. I think a lot of it is in the mind. You want to have that option. And that is a very big problem. I don't know how this works in halacha. With the law, with the sin.
The primary purpose was to compromise.
Right, it's not a total compromise. It's a compromise, but within the framework of halach. You don't just go, if we're going to Beis Din, automatically it's 50-50. That's ridiculous.
No.
It's not going to be. If you go to Beis Din and you realize you're not going to get what you want. But it'll be 80% is pretty good also. If I would go to court, I would spend all my money on lawyers, I would walk away with maybe 1%. Okay? I know someone that's involved in
go to judge jury.
I know someone that's involved in Dine Torah. If you told me, the first thing he says to the people is, settle right now. Right now, don't walk out of here, because if you're not going to settle, I guarantee you, you'll have nothing left anyway. You'll spend all the money on lawyer's fees. You'll walk away with zero. And they don't believe him half the time. And that happens all the time. They have all the time. Dirty cases. They fight. And when it's all over, one of them loses. Sorry, there's no money. All the money went to the lawyers. And plus, I have chayvos. Not only I went to the lawyers, I owe the lawyers money. So what's it all worth? Right now, you have in front of you $1 million. No, settle. Settle between you. Figure out. Make a pshar between yourself. Don't get in Gazima. Don't get the best involved. Do it yourself. What are you looking for trouble? All right, let's finish up with the Rashi. Let's finish up with the Rashi.
By the way, Rashi explains it because the Bura Matrili doesn't say Yevoshu. He said Yashuvu Yevoshu.
Oh.
Yashuvu, it's the second time.
The second time. Oh, so according to Rashi, it means they're going to go back for an appeal. According to the Mitzvah stuff, it means they're going to be in bad. They're going to do Teshuvah. Fundamental difference between the Mitzvah stuff and Rashi. Mitzvah stuff, they're going to do Teshuvah. And then the Boshes will only be for Rega. According to Rashi, they're gonna file for an appeal. Let's finish over here. Yeshuvu Yipama Shulgen. Hare Bushu Kifulo. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Bar Nachmani. By the way, according to Rashi, Rashi is not explaining what does it mean roga? What does it mean roga? Rashi doesn't explain that. Bima'at Zman. The Ma'at Zaman, the end of the Rashi. Also, by the way, that's in breath. Well, let's just finish up, then we'll come back. Finish with the Rashi over here. Who have zero in the Gemara? Rabbi Yishmael Bar Nachmani Oimer. Bar Nachmani Bar Nachmani Oimer. La'asid lavay kol uma koira le'loy keha. In the future, every nation will call out to its God. Ve'ein oinin, and the God will not answer. Who's the God? The Mechayzim Mekarim Black Kodesh Baruch Hu. Oimer Lochem Hashem will say to them. Ilu Eli Kirasim Techila. If only you would have answered me immediately. Hayisi Oine Eschem Achshav. Now Asisem Avoidezore Ikor. The Oisi Tofel Lefichach Eini Oine. I'm not going to answer. Shenemar Yeshavu. They cry out. That's later on. The Emoshiach. Who are they crying out to? Zoi Avoidezore. The Acharkach. El Hashem. Then when they realize it's nonsense, they cry out to Hashem, V'loy onam. Hashem says, too little, too late. Lekach nemar, Yoshuvu. They will first cry to Avodah Zarah. Then they will come back and cry to Hashem. But Yevoshu, they will be embarrassed because Hashem will say, too little, too late. You did not have confidence in me. Roga, quickly. B'ma'ad Zaman, I think according to Rashi learned that may this happen soon in our days. B'mehera v'yamenu. So let's review. We have over here three perushim, and we're going to stop with this, and tomorrow we're going to go further, even though, unfortunately, there's so many good things here, but we have to move ahead. We'll be good things tomorrow, we'll be good things in Vayikra, but we have to really move on. But let's review the three perushim. We'll stop. The pasuk over here says, Yevoshu v'yivalu me'od kol oyvai. According to the Mitzvah David, it means, Yevoshu, my enemies, when they see that I'm successful, they'll be put to shame. And they'll be terrified. They'll be confounded. They'll be confused. They'll be ashamed very much. Kol oyvai, every one of my enemies. And what's going to happen then? A beautiful ending will happen. Beautiful ending. Yeshuvu, they will do teshuva. And then the boshes will only be for a moment. Yevoshu, this that it said in the beginning of the pasuk, Yevoshu v'yibalu me'oid, it'll only be raga just for a moment. Rashi says, not different shot. Rashi says that l'asilavo Yevoshu v'yibalu me'oid, our enemies we put to shame very much. Kol oivoy, all of my enemies. And what's going to happen? They're going to say, and Hashem's going to judge them, and Hashem's going to say, all of you rishayim, go to Gehenna now. And they're going to file an appeal. And Hashem's going to say, okay, I accept the appeal. Come back to court. Let's review the case carefully one more time. And Hashem, Yeshuvu, they will be restored. Hashem will take them back into the courtroom. And Hashem will analyze the details again. And the verdict will be Nochamol Yevoshu. They'll be embarrassed a second time. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Go back to Gehenna. Roga, when will all of this happen? I'm not really sure how Rashi, you can play with the word rog according to Rashi. May this happen soon in our days. Is that what it means? Or it means that the second trial will be very quick. Will be a swift trial. Will be a swift trial. And then Rashi's second interpretation is Yevoshu v'yibalu me'oid kol oivoy. They're going to be put to shame. And then what's going to happen? Why are they going to be put to shame? Because they're going to go and they're going to have a very big tzara and they're going to cry to their gods. They're going to cry out to their gods and the gods are not going to answer. And then what's going to happen? They're going to realize, you know what? Ein lanu lihishoin ela al avinu shavashamayim. And they're going to finally come around to cry to Hashem. But what's going to happen? Hashem's going to say, I'm sorry. Too little, too late. The damage is done. You can't just come now when it's all over. It's too little. And therefore, they're gonna even though they're going to be Yeshuvu, they're going to go and they're going to come back to Hashem to cry to Hashem. Sorry. Yevoshu, they're going to be put to shame. Roga, right away when they realize it's not going to happen. You're going to ask, yes, today no one's worshiping idols. You don't see people today. But you, unfortunately, what you do see in society is people put their confidence, I mean, it's very, in the wrong, you know, in dealing over here with Corona, a global pandemic.
In ideologies.
And it's very interesting to see how every nation, you know, deals with it. It's there's a lot to be said in having faith in science, and to what degree? You go look around and you see.
All right,
I don't want to get political. I'm not here to make. I'm not here to make. If you want to, we have to have a separate show. I'll tell you all my days. But my days is worthless. I'm a nobody. I'm not to talk about these things. Whatever I think is just personal. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. But I'm not here to talk politics. But if you just study society, it's going on already for almost 2 years. You see every country, every person, every country, every community, everyone has a very different take on how to deal with the problem. It's a problem, it's a global problem. And it's people that are religious, I'm not even talking about Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, I'm talking about Christians, I'm talking about Muslims, I'm talking about people of faith. Okay, that's a very broad spectrum. Everyone deals with it in a very different way. And there are people there are groups of people in the world, it's a big place out there, that have faith. And that is a component in dealing with the problem. And that has a very interesting dynamic. And go study society, I'm not telling you, go study, go see what every society does. You follow the news, you're not gonna find this in the mainstream media, but you have to go in the back channels, you see different segments of society, how they deal with it. And there are certain segments of society that totally, totally leave Hashem out of the picture. He's not part of the equation. There's no God. He's not part of the equation. We can handle this. We can take care of this ourselves. It's in our hands. And the problem is not going away for anyone, okay? There's a problem, And you talk about, so God, when they talk about their gods, doesn't mean, oh, everyone are their pagan gods. We don't see today people worshiping the sun and the moon, but people put their confidence in solutions that they feel will solve their problem. That's a god, okay? You can put your emunah in Hashem, and every person of faith and every whatever it is, there's emunah, and then there is, no, forget about it. A higher authority. Let's focus on very specific solutions to these problems. And then they realize that doesn't work. And then, you know what? Maybe there's a God. Maybe, in fact, there's a higher authority. And we should pray for help. Hashem says, where have you been until now? What happened to you? Where have you been until now? And this is not just a pandemic. This is every problem in this whole world is like that. How do you deal with an economy? How do you deal with poverty? How do you deal with illness? How do you deal with parnosa? Nothing has changed. The more things change, the more they stay the same. How do you deal with these things? Communism. Communism is, we'll take care of poverty. We'll take care of it. We don't need to pray to God for prosperity.
All these movements are seeking salvation.
They're seeking salvation. They're putting their confidence in an ideology, in a person, in science, in a solution, and God is not part of the equation. Sorry, you're not part. We got this covered. We figured this out. And then they realize, you know what? we have even bigger problems. And they'll come around to realize, one, that you know something. Maybe there is a God. And maybe if we would pray to him, maybe he could, you know, help us. Give us siyata d'shmaya in guiding things in a way where it will be beneficial for society. Maybe. And according to Rashi's second interpretation, sorry, by the time you come around to your shuvu, it's too late. Where have you been until now? Yevoshu. It's too late. Now's our chance, Raga. Powerful stuff.
Rashi has only two words here. The other one is Amoraim. One, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Gera. He says, Yashuvu Yevoshu Pam Shnia. That's Rashi. And then he brings
the what does it mean, the Pam Shnia? The two Perushim of what it means, the Pam Shnia.
Rabbi Yochanan.
And the second interpretation. Very good. Okay, so tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we're moving on to Zion.